If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray, and I am a therapist, but I'm also the host of the Mental Health Today Show. Been doing this for a long time, since 2016. So if you have been around since then, I really appreciate you being here. And if you're new, of course, I appreciate you here. Well, today we're going to be talking about something that is really interesting, something that I have seen in the mental health field really emerge. It's probably been around for a while, but I've really noticed it lately, and that is using ketamine to help people who are struggling with a lot of mental health issues. And my guest today, he is a practicing psychiatrist, and he's the director of ketamine services at Sierra Tucson. And he's going to be talking to us a little bit about what is ketamine and how is it used in treating mental illness? And really what I'm interested to see in the results of that as well. And so without further ado, I want to introduce you and welcome to the Mental Health Show. Dr. Folk, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, and I'm really excited to talk about the subject.
Yeah, me too. And I think this is something that I'm really excited about this particular topic, because I talk to a lot as a therapist. I talk to a lot of people who are really chronic with their mental illness, and they feel like they can't get help, and they've tried everything. They don't know where to turn and what to do. And so I want to talk about the ketamine, but before we get to that, I want to know a little bit about you. Tell us a little story, maybe how you got into being a psychiatrist, how you got into studying and researching ketamine for mental illness. Love to know more about that.
Absolutely. It's I guess it's not too much of an interesting backstory. I grew up in Florida, where I developed a very deep love for soccer and hip hop. Education was pretty much prioritized in my household growing up. And so there was always encouragement to, you know, be a lawyer, doctor, engineer. It was pretty common. And I ended up in medicine. And so it was in medical school and during those research projects around that time where I developed an interest in psychiatry. In terms of my practice, I had heard whispers about ketamine having some benefit in the mental health treatment space all the way back from in medical school, back in the knots. And it really wasn't until I was in residency where I formally looked at the information available and was really encouraged about the results being shared.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the results. And first of all, let me just ask, what exactly is ketamine? Hear the word a lot, but what is it? What, tell us a little bit about what it is and how it's used in to treat people.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, ketamine's a very interesting medication. It's one of those that have been around for a while, but its usefulness has expanded over the years as we learn more about its utility. It was a medication that, you know, was developed in the 60s. It was used in situations where you needed to conduct procedures under anesthesia. It's an anesthetic. And it's unique compared to other anesthetics because it could rapidly get people in an anesthetized state, but still retain someone's airway. So you didn't need airway support, right? So you could use it in non-traditional settings, like emergency situations, combat situations. And in addition to anesthesia, we also see it used in pain management, as it's a fairly potent analgesic. And in some cases, more recently, it's actually been used to lighten the burden of those taking really complicated and complex opioid regimens. In more recent times, we've seen it develop within the space of certain types of psychiatric illness treatment. Without getting too lost in the weeds, right? Ketamine itself is a mix of two different molecules. So ketamine has a certain configuration in the 3D space. There's two different types of those. And so ketamine is a mix. It's like a 50-50 mix of those two different types. And so as ketamine was growing and developing its growing positive reputation in psychiatry for the treatment of typically treatment-resistant cases of depression, this one of those versions, S-ketamine, was actually developed by the FDA back in 2019 for the indication of treatment-resistant depression. And just as an aside, treatment-resistant depression is defined as failing to respond to two or more adequate trials of antidepressants. And it was also used to treat major depressive disorder when there's a presence of suicidality. Other forms of ketamine and what people may be more familiar with are more intravenous or intramuscular preparations or even oral preparations. And then just looking more broadly at the literature, you know, ketamine's benefits have also been noted in cases related to trauma syndromes, PTSD, obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar depression, eating disorders, substance use disorders. So, yeah.
You know, I find that fascinating that using something that's been around for a long time, we're recognizing how ketamine is really can help that depression resistant. Those people, the individuals who really struggle with, like you mentioned, ideation, and they, this doesn't seem like medication can really help them. And then we have something like the ketamine. And I know that your practice, that you're the director of ketamine services, I'm sure you have seen the really positive results in your own practice. And can you tell us a little bit about how effective using ketamine can be?
Yeah, absolutely. you know, I would say in general, when looking at the studies and when in combination with a formal antidepressant, ketamine therapy has been associated with greater reductions in depression scores compared to placebo. I would say one of the biggest draws is that it's really, really rapid acting, where promising results can be observed in some cases as early as after the first dose. So instead of waiting, several weeks, like with other medications, this is an intervention that can be used in more acute or subacute time settings and, you know, potentially ideal for a treatment setting like ours at the residential space. Other types of benefits that are included with this medication is that there's very few drug-drug interactions and its side effect profile is pretty well tolerated. But kind of going beyond the reduction of depression scores, I want to kind of touch on the potential or refer to the potential psychological benefits. You know, we can track the intensity of core depression symptoms and as they're decreasing over time, but there are other dimensions of the experience which are less able to be scored on that 0 to 10 scale. And ketamine, I've noticed it causes this kind of reduction of external stimuli when someone's in that space and they're able to experience a heightened internal perception. And so that, you know, potentially allows for more clarity when examining the drivers of one's mood issues. You know, people also describe this feeling of interconnectedness and this reduction of obsession-based thinking, which I think in the most optimistic sense allows for better acceptance of new perspectives and interpretations and directions, a willingness to go and accept, you know, what may be positive changes or positive directions in one's life. And that's beyond, you know, getting better sleep, appetite improving, you know. So I think there is this biological impression of what ketamine does, but there's also this huge psychological impression as well, which I think can't be ignored when we look at its benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point to bring up. And you know, the we know that ketamine can be very effective, but I think there's some, maybe perhaps some misunderstanding of how ketamine can be used. And maybe some concerns. I don't know if you've heard of any concerns with people not knowing a lot about ketamine and their hesitancy of using that. Have you heard that? Have you realized there might be a little bit of hesitancy for some people to use ketamine?
Absolutely. And I think that's a valid concern. You know, ketamine is a drug that has the potential to be abused. There are reports of its abuse from all over the world. I'd say less so in the United States compared to other places, but it's still worth mentioning. You know, I think it's natural to also mention that, you know, when we look at the news, we'll hear of certain high profile individuals and perhaps they get caught up in, you know, substance use and ketamine gets mentioned, or even the passing of this, of a recent high profile individual where ketamine was found in his system. I would say ketamine abuse often occurs with other substance use. And usually its consumption is significantly higher and with more frequent doses than we would use in the treatment of depression. And I also would want to mention that there are actually two recent reviews within the clinical literature that found no suggestion of ketamine misuse or abuse when prescribed for depression. As we, you know, in those contexts, we use doses that are typically lower than one would use in anesthesia or pain management. But I also want to mention, you know, some other concerns that that patients also bring up, outside of the misuse or potential for abuse. I would say just like with any other treatment, nothing is perfect. Even with careful selection of those who might benefit the most, sometimes we don't see the positive shifts that were hoped. And this might be due to a variety of factors, which, you know, can be troubleshooted on an individual basis. I noticed that, you know, with treatments that are considered quote unquote novel, sometimes expectations and hope can outweigh the results, especially in early adoption, which can set the person up for disappointment in and of itself. So having a meaningful discussion around managing expectations, I think is very key.
Well, thank you for that. That is something that we want to consider, because I know a lot of people don't really know a lot about ketamine and how it's used, and they may have heard about it, but then they might feel like there's some controversy around that. So I appreciate you really bringing that up, and you know, let's talk about, yeah, this could happen, but if it's really administered by a doctor and under care, it's not going to be as dangerous as it might seem. So I'm really interested here, Dr. Falk, about your practice and what you are doing at Sierra Tucson. You mentioned that it's a residential. First of all, let's tell people exactly what is Sierra Tucson and who are the people that might come and be a part of that.
Yeah. So Sierra Tucson is a residential treatment center in Tucson, Arizona. Typically, you know, it's an elevated level of care. It's the highest level of care. And so typically people will come to us and they'll stay with us, for around 30 days, you know, if it's a full course. And we treat a variety of conditions. We treat conditions in the psychiatric space, whether it's mood disorders. So I'm thinking depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder. We also treat trauma syndromes, PTSD, and the variations therein. We also treat eating disorders as a kind of secondary target. We treat addiction as well across the board. And then we also have a very robust chronic pain program. And so oftentimes we'll have patients come in that have combinations from all those. And so coming to a place that has this sort of wraparound services can be really helpful. I kind of tell people how residential is a bit like going to school. You know, you go there, you live in there, you get a schedule every day. And, you know, from breakfast to dinner, you're participating in lectures, you're participating in group therapy, there's one-on-one sessions with your psychiatrist, with your therapist, there's specialty services, depending on what brought you to treatment, you know, whether it was grief or whether it's you need to do some focused things, EMDR, somatic experiencing, that sort of thing. And then that kind of combination is happening Monday through Sunday. And so it can be very exhausting. It can be a huge adjustment, but sometimes it's that rhythm that needs to be introduced in someone's life, to kind of create that momentum. You know, I tell my patients sometimes, the hardest thing in this universe is to get a stationary object and to get it to go. And the second hardest thing is to keep it going. Right. And so I look at this in the most simplistic way, as this is what we're doing. We're trying to get an object to go.
Well, I think you really depict that really well, right? So you got to get it to move and then keep it moving. And right. When people are struggling, it's hard to get moving. And so it sounds like for people who are really, really struggling with their mental illness, and you mentioned a number of them, whether it's chronic depression or bipolar, mood disorders, eating disorders, pain management, which a lot of times brings about the depression in other mental illnesses. And so it sounds like it's a very intensive and purposeful time at Sierra Tucson. Those who are struggling and maybe can't get help otherwise, and here they're under the care 24/7 for, you said.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
30 days. And tell us a little bit about your particular area, because you're the director of ketamine services there at Sierra Tucson. Tell us a little bit about that. What, like, how is a ketamine administered usually? And tell us a little bit about the types of patients that come to see you for that ketamine.
Great question. So, you know, as I've been working here for about 5.5 years, initially I was working primarily as a residential psychiatrist. So I'd see, you know, the patients that were on my panel. Typically my focus was on mood and trauma. And at times I would get addiction, chronic pain, eating disorders as well, but primarily it was mood and trauma. I would say about 2.5 years ago, we started offering the S-ketamine that I mentioned earlier, that type of ketamine that was that the FDA approved, and it's under the drug name Spravato. And so Spravato is a medication that's delivered intranasally. And so we would deliver it 2 to 3 times a week, up to 6 sessions. And so the complement within the residential space, that's about 3 weeks with out of the 4 weeks. So it fit really nicely with the time expectations of the residential experience. We were getting really promising results with Spravato. And so we wanted to expand the program and offer other different formulations of ketamine. Now, while Spravato is FDA indicated for those indications that I mentioned before, we also offer intramuscular ketamine. And I should say that ketamine, that type of ketamine, is not does not have a formal indication by the FDA for these conditions. But the data is hard to ignore about its benefits. And so we do offer intramuscular ketamine as an intervention on a typically same schedule, 2 to 3 times a week, to try to fit in at least 6 sessions before the individual discharges.
So you didn't originally set out to be the director of ketamine services, and yet it developed into that. And so it expanded because you've seen such positive results. You're opening it up to more people. And I would imagine more and more people are coming for that service. Are there people coming to Sierra Tucson specifically for that type of treatment?
So that has been mentioned. I think what sets our program apart is, you know, ketamine, like I said, is this kind of shiny new intervention, right? And with that, you'll get individuals that try to capitalize on it from a financial perspective. So if you look at the price cost of this being delivered in the outpatient setting, it's not abnormal for people to spend thousands of dollars on a single course, which inherently creates a financial barrier for those that can't afford it. And so if people are at Sierra Tucson and the treatment team feels that this would be a beneficial addition to their treatment program, ketamine is would be offered to the individual at no cost. You know, and it's really interesting, you know, ketamine as in the syringe is about $7 per vial, but you'll see it upcharged $500 per dose.
Wow.
Which again, there's something really ethically ambiguous about that in the most optimistic way and overtly questionable. And so, you know, we are getting folks that are now hearing that we do offer ketamine therapy, which is, I think, a natural complement to what else we offer here. And so we're now identifying those individuals earlier on in treatment, which I think is always a good thing. So my hope is that it's going to continue to grow.
Well, I'm sure it will when people are starting to hear how effective it can be and how frustrating it could be when they're maybe in their own community, maybe they're in rural areas where they probably don't have that ability to get that service. But if they're really struggling and they think that residential treatment is the right fit, then I can really see that really growing and taking off. And, you know, I think, you know, I was thinking about the residential Sierra Tucson. Tell us a little bit about, you know, we're talking about the people who come to you, but what are the ages? What do you, is there a typical gender at all, or is there a typical ages? Is it open to adults only, or is there a teen program?
Yeah, it's typically 18 and up. And so we will get folks that had just turned 18 last week, all wow. the way to individuals that are in their 80s. The population, the milieu, is mixed. So it is co-ed. We have several different lodges. In each lodge, there is an all-female lodge, there's an all-male lodge, and there's also a co-ed lodge. We used to separate the lodges based off of the programming, whether it was mood, trauma, addiction, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Now it's a little bit more mixed in terms of the programming. So in the same lodge, you may have someone who's there for addiction. You may have someone who's there for chronic pain as a primary reason, or mood. But generally, the milieu is mixed, and we do offer treatment for those that are 18 and dot, dot, dot.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, good. Thank you for that. So let's say someone's listening to this, and perhaps they are interested in going to Sierra Tucson, at least finding out about it. But maybe they realize, well, you know what? I don't know if I can get there. I don't know. There are barriers there. Is there, are there questions that someone can ask their doctor about ketamine, if they're interested in it? Is that even feasible, do you think? Or do they have to be perhaps get the service within a residential treatment center?
Really good question. You know, I would say ketamine probably started in the inpatient side, and then it morphed to the outpatient side, and now we're seeing it more applied at these elevated levels of care. But I would say if someone is interested in pursuing ketamine treatment, asking their provider for their input on whether it would be a reasonable next step with an ideal outcome of benefit is completely reasonable. I would say the most common application where ketamine might be considered is for the treatment of psychiatric illness that I mentioned, treatment-resistant depressive cases, where that treatment path is usually cobbled with either partial or a lack of meaningful progress from various lines of treatment. And if they've been working with their provider for a long time or a bit of time, it might be a good idea to get their provider's impression about the work done so far. I'm sure you can agree, right? Sometimes the provider can see certain things in the patient, and the patient's perspective is a little bit different in terms of the impression about the care. And so, you know, oftentimes I would say a sign of serial treatment failure may point to needing to go back to see if the right diagnosis was made in the first place to inform said treatment. In the case of treatment-resistant depression, completely fair to ask if there are other interventions that might be considered. And usually that's informed by looking at the balance between biological, psychological, and social factors that are involved that are felt to drive the illness. Now, if there is an interest in pursuing ketamine therapy, it would be helpful to ask, how is the medication delivered? As I mentioned, intranasal, intravenous, intramuscular. What kind of preparation is offered to the individual seeking treatment? Particularly when it comes to treatment expectations, where the treatment might feel like, and what kind of support that they'll need from their treatment team, their family, their friends to support their recovery. I would also say that it's helpful to ask if there's a framework of assisted psychotherapy to partner the treatment, particularly as we know that integrating the experience in a psychotherapeutic setting has been shown to extend its benefit and potentially make lifelong positive changes.
Well, those are some great tips. And I know there are a lot of people who, you know, they really struggle with that depression, and it seems like they go through a lot of medications and nothing seems to work, and they're in and out of the hospital, and they struggle with just the ideation, suicidal ideation. And it just doesn't seem like there's anything out there that could help them. And it sounds like this could be something that's promising to look into as a possible next step. And so I appreciate you sharing about what are some questions, some things to think about if somebody is really struggling with maybe they've gone through a lot of medications and it's not helping. Perhaps this might be the next step, and talking to your doctor about it and being as informed as you can, and figure out where and how to get this is so important, and to not give up. You know, a lot of people are at a stage in their life where, man, they have been struggling for so long, and they just feel like, well, this is how my life is going to be. And it's not necessarily have to be that way. And you know, why not try or look into trying something like ketamine as a possible next step? So I appreciate you sharing that.
For sure.
Well, I would love to know, tell us a little bit about, you know, there are some people who are going to listen to this and maybe they are interested in going to a residential similar to or something like Sierra Tucson. If someone is listening to this, maybe it's for themselves, or maybe they have a loved one that they're thinking of, and maybe they tried tried other residential places, and it just doesn't seem to help. And maybe they were put in a place where it wasn't very effective, and maybe had the opposite effect. And they're real leery about looking into treatment centers. But if someone is listening to this, and maybe they're piqued, and their interest is piqued about Sierra Tucson, how could someone go about at least contacting or seeing if it would be a good fit for them?
Yeah, I would say everyone has access to the internet nowadays. And so that's probably the easiest way to get in touch, going to www.sierratucson.com, or even just Googling Sierra Tucson, and it's usually the first link. And take a look at the website. Take a look at what we have to offer. You know, we didn't invent the wheel, right? And I don't pretend that we're reinventing it either. The residential space is an elevated level of care that, you know, should meet the needs of the individual. If it is Sierra Tucson, on that website, there is direction to reach out to our admissions department, whether it's a question about, you know, cost or insurance coverage, you know, that can be covered, that can be, you know, addressed rather quickly. And so, you know, we try to meet the needs as quickly and as able as we can, but that would be a good place to start.
Fantastic. And is there a wait list?
Off the top of my head, I'm not aware of a wait list. I
put you on the spot there.
Yeah, I typically just see, okay, I'm, you know, this is who's on my panel now. And mm-hmm. and if there's an interest in ketamine, okay, this person's interested, let's get them into a consultation and let's talk a little bit more about it.
Well, that's great. That's a great step. Go to the website, sierratucson.com, and read about it first and see if that was a good fit, and then make that initial contact and then gather all the questions that you might have and ask and see if that's a good fit. Well, Dr. Falk, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really interesting to talk about this type of treatment and how it's used so often when all the other treatments don't seem to work. And I appreciate your work that you do as the director of ketamine services at Sierra Tucson. You're helping people who are kind of at their wits' end, and so to speak. And they've tried things, and it just nothing seems to help. But you're able to offer a next step and give that hope for people who are struggling the most. So thank you so much for what you do, and also thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, John. Thank you. And just to echo your point, I think this is an intervention that offers hope, because I think when it comes to depression, it tries its best to convince us that there is none.
Yeah.
And so offering a little glimmer is sometimes just what we need to get going.
That's
so
exactly
thank you so
right.
much for allowing me to share this this amazing intervention, and I look forward to your future episodes.
All right, well, thank you, and just real pleasure talking with you. And you know, maybe someone who's listening to this might actually come to Sierra Tucson and come to you and say, "I listened to your episode on the Mental Health Today show."
That'd be great. And I also just want to say, you know, if their treatment team or the individual, if they want to, you know, just ask to talk to me. I'm happy to have a conversation about this, whether this is the right fit. At the end of the day, you know, we're just trying to help people, and whether it's here or there, let's be helpful.
I like that. That's awesome. Well, thank you everybody for listening to this show, this episode. And if you are struggling, or maybe you know someone who's struggling, make sure they listen to this. You might want to re-listen to it to learn more about ketamine services, to learn more about CR Tucson. Thank you for being a part of this show. And if you're not subscribed yet, follow the Mental Health Today show. I want you to be a part of that. And until next time, my friends, take care of yourself and continue to work on your mental health. Take care, my friends. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.